Hello, welcome to episode 25 of Daily-ish, which, as my wife has told me, is now turning into Weekly-ish. So we'll see if I get off the rut or whatever of a weekly episode. Anyways, today is Tuesday, June 24th, 2014. It's actually 20 degrees. It's, I think, the first time I get to say a plus 20 temperature, or it was when I set up my notes. It's probably dropped back down and started raining. But my co-host in the rain is Blaine, back for his second episode. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm well. It's a busy week here in our house. We're preparing for... It's actually my son's birthday today. He turned 7 and preparing for the party and all the festivities that go along.
What are you guys doing for a party?
Oh, just having...
And why wasn't I invited? Yeah.
Can you tell me his name?
Damien?
There you go. Okay. I was going to say... That would be the first test if you can. No, he just invited school friends. So yeah. Unless you're the creepy guy hanging out with a bunch of grade ones at school, you wouldn't be invited. And in which case, you wouldn't be let in the door if you were that guy. So yeah, no, just having them over for stuff. This is the conundrum of this spring summer thing that we've been having. Is like for like the last week, it's been saying beautiful weather Friday. Mm-hmm. And now it's slowly pushed back to like, Chance of rain Friday. So that's, you don't really want to have 10 grade one boys inside your house if you can at all.
I can only assume.
Yeah. All right. On to like I said, it's only been this for the last few episodes, but Tech Tuesday. I gathered some stories. You've added some thoughts. So first thing that happened recently was, and I don't know if you've looked into this more. I haven't had a lot of time to look into it, other than kind of being meh about it. But Amazon announcing their Fire Phone, which is their cell phone. Amazon's going to release a phone, presumably in the U.S. first, only worldwide.
Yeah, I think later. It's AT&T only also.
Oh, wow.
A little bit of deja vu there.
Yeah, so it's kind of like iPhone all over again, if you're an Amazon fan, I guess. This is the interesting thing is Amazon as a company is... I think, anyways, people are fans of it because of the stuff they get from it. Not so much that they desperately love Amazon as a brand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Definitely agree.
And so, like, you know, the brand is getting ugly brown boxes that have the Amazon logo, which inside have amazing things that you ordered just, like, yesterday, if you're on Prime or whatever, and things like that. But whatever. I guess it's a... Yeah. I guess the Kindle, though, is the...
Yeah. Would you ever buy a Walmart phone?
Yes, you know.
Like, isn't that the same thing?
It is. And I guess like the Kindle would be the counter argument to that point, I guess. But
yes.
Even then, the Kindle feels like an ugly packaging to get the thing you want, which is a book.
Yeah. You know,
to read and a bunch of books. So the article I linked to is that the theory, because it's not out yet, but is that this could actually just be the biggest sort of privacy invasion type what's the word I'm looking for? That the Greek Trojan horse kind of thing to get into your house, where it has all these sensors that can pick up what you're saying, what you're watching, what you're looking at, what kind of stuff. Because it's kind of like you can point it at anything and it'll try and identify it in the Amazon store and tell you how much it costs. And if you're giving Amazon all that data and all the photos, unlimited photo uploads, all that kind of stuff, then they'll just turn around and use that data to tell you what.
Well, sure. It's creepy enough that, didn't we talk about ads last time?
Yeah,
I have a little bit of deja vu with ads, where like a search term follows you across sites.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's gonna happen. You take a picture of a TV in a store, and or the barcode of it or whatever. Like, of course they're gonna send you ads for that. They have that information. They know that you're interested. That's
yeah, exactly.
It's a recipe for a great ad. So of course they're gonna do that, but. There are times when I want that, and there are times when I definitely don't.
Well, I know, and that's where I feel like something like this would be like, I just want you to take the information I give you about the thing I'm looking at and then just drop it. And then later on, if I say, I should be able to say, tell me what that thing was that I was looking at, the garden hose or the TV or whatever, and recall that, but don't use it against me.
Right.
It's sort of how it feels like, and then remind me of it everywhere I go, always reminding me that I need to buy a... New
yeah,
garden hose or something.
It's to the point where I don't even look at something on Amazon unless I know I want it, or I look at it in a private browser.
Yeah,
because like it's annoying. I I look at one kitchen thing and I get a weekly email of kitchen updates. Like, yeah. I don't care.
And they really, like in the last year, they've really ramped
Nobody
it up.
Nobody does.
It's like got yeah. a lot worse, I feel like, which we covered last time. Okay, moving on. Because it doesn't, for us in Canada, anyways, it's kind of pointless. I don't think it'll be available for a while.
Also, how many cameras does that thing have? Like seven cameras?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Another thing that doesn't apply to us in Canada, but it's kind of interesting and could eventually come to Canada, is Starbucks offering free tuition at an online university to all their employees, U.S.-based employees, presumably with, you know, part-time hours of some sort or higher, I would guess. But, yeah, I thought I'd heard this. This is maybe a little bit, what is this, back into June almost now, July, May. June. Where are we? Early June. It was thrown around. Still is June.
That's good.
But I it's such an interesting idea. And like, there's a joke going around saying, well, aren't most Starbucks employees already college graduates because they can't do anything with their degree? But so, but I think it's great that they would do this. It seems like another, yet another reason to go work for them. It seems like a great hiring tactic. You know, when you're competing with wage, and presumably they got some sort of an arrangement or deal with the university that they're going to bring all these people in at some lower rate. And so
I don't remember where, but I saw something that this could actually save Starbucks money, because they had a policy in place beforehand that would pay for part of tuition or something like that. And so now they've ditched that policy for this policy where, you know, it's a little better for headlines. So they can tell people and hire people based on, we'll pay for your tuition. But there's definitely some deal going on there. Like, you don't make that deal with one specific university if there isn't.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So if they were paying $1,500 towards your degree or whatever, some number, presumably this deal that they've made is probably a very similar amount that they're actually paying. So they don't actually, not that much more out of their own pocket, but in terms of PR and stuff, it looks way better.
For sure. So. For sure. Yeah, it's interesting that they're doing all these partnerships now. Like, they did a Square partnership at one point in time, and now this partnership.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember seeing them doing any partnerships before Square.
Well, and you sort of wonder if that'll trickle over into other, like, you know, that's, like I said, a competing HR line item in a sense when they're hiring. And so a company like someone like an Apple or a different company mm-hmm. that needs to hire employees now sort of has to compete with that maybe. And is it something that's going to become more common, or is it just going to be a one-off Starbucks thing?
This, for all we know, this could be a test case for Arizona State University to work with other organizations like McDonald's or, you know, Walmart. Pick on Walmart.
Yeah. Exactly.
This could be a pilot project for all we know.
Yeah, totally. All right. In completely unrelated news, Angry Birds Transformers is coming. I don't know why. I thought of my kids maybe when I read this. It's been a while since I've seriously spent too much time playing Angry Birds, but the idea of playing Transformer Angry Birds, the Star Wars Angry Birds game, is pretty fun. The mechanics obviously don't change much, but just kind of fun to see the little interactions. Have you played an Angry Birds game in a while?
It's been a long time. I was trying to think of the last time. When did the space one come out? I think that's the last one I played.
Space, like Star. Oh, like not Star Wars, but actually
not
just
Star
the space.
Wars. But...
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy though how that game still, like the mechanic.
Right.
It's just a fun, simple game that, like even my, like I said, my son or whatever would happily play, enjoys playing. So.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those, just such a basic control, single control. It's all you really need to know. You can get a little deeper with the exploding guys and stuff like that, but simple mechanic and simple goal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What's your, this is going off tangent here, but on off topic, but what's your iPhone game of choice these days if you're killing time in a line somewhere?
I don't have one right now. I just popped open my phone to see if I have a recent one, but yeah, I don't have one right now. I usually grab a popular one and then play it until it's done, and then, well, kind of obsess over it a little bit, and then I put it down for a while. Monument was the last one. Monument Valley.
Oh yeah, I never actually played through that one. But
that was good. That's a good game.
Yeah.
Nice and quick, and yeah, you don't have to spend 10 hours, and you can just play an episode or play a level and move on and do something else. But and immersive enough that you want to go back. It's a pretty good game.
More like a puzzle game, right?
Yeah.
Very cool. Let me find my way back here. Oh, yeah. Random stories today. You can tell I was all over the map when I was searching. The beards of the year in 2014 Stanley Cup playoffs. Do you watch hockey at all? I forget.
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't watch anything in the playoffs.
You didn't watch any... once the Canucks were out, you just turned off your TV.
They didn't even make the playoffs.
No, I know. That's what I mean. Like, you just
so bad.
Turned it off.
Yeah. No, I watched quite a bit, actually.
Yeah.
I probably watched more this year than I have in the last 2 years.
It was a good... Yeah, it was a good overall sort of playoffs, I found, anyway.
Yep. Yeah, lots of good games.
And so this
lots of good series, too, not just a game here and there.
Yeah, this is for any beard fans. I don't know what they... Basically, they go through over on Yahoo, well, Puck Daddy, the Yahoo Sports hockey blog. Collect all as for anybody who's not aware. I don't know if you're most people are aware probably of in hockey and a lot of other sports. It's starting to carry over too. But
yep.
Players tend to not shave during the playoffs in some sort of like ritual of tradition and sort of fear that if they shave, they're gonna lose the games or whatever. I think it's
that's really what it is.
What it came
it's just
down to
pure superstition.
Yeah,
if I shave, we'll lose.
Yeah, and so it just kind of collects the best. But yeah, then you added the link to the Brent Burns, which is last year, I think, right?
Yeah.
Where he's got...
He does that every year, though. It's just ridiculous. First of all, he's missing his front three teeth, so that makes any picture with a beard way better.
Yeah.
And then his beard's like 4 inches long. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And he's got showing them shaving it off and for charity, I'm assuming. And
yeah,
his buddies all have masks on. Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff Carter's was pretty good too.
It's a funny tradition.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny how much younger the players look afterwards. You kind of forget because it does kind of make everybody look like these old veterans when really, assuming they can grow something on their face, yeah. When really they're actually, 23-year-old kids or whatever.
Yeah.
By my standards, anyway.
Well, the oldest one is on that winning team was probably 32.
Yeah.
I guess. So,
scary.
Like anybody's old.
Yeah. Finally, at least what I had, Facebook this last week released their Slingshot app. And then this is another thing that's only in the U.S., I think. I don't think it's made its way. They've locked it to the U.S. only for some reason. I guess for limiting availability and testing and growing, but their Slingshot app, which is kind of like a Snapshot clone, or Snapchat. Snapchat being the app where you can send a photo or a video, and then the idea being that it gets deleted. It's only available for 10 seconds or less or whatever, and then it's deleted forever. Never mind the fact that it's probably on a server somewhere and or somebody screenshotted it on their own device because it's on the internet somewhere, so it's going to be there. But so yeah, as far as last time I looked anyways, it was still US only.
I don't know why, but Facebook likes to make everything US only now because we still don't have paper.
Yeah, so I was going to say their previous app, which I think has kind of fallen dead in the water too, paper, which is kind of like a new way to browse your stream and stuff, is also not available outside the US. So,
just ridiculous.
Yeah, I can't think of any, like, I can understand when you have, like, say Apple releases their iTunes Radio, it has music licensing and...
Yeah, there's licensing there.
Yeah.
And, like, if you're going to roll it out, that makes perfect sense too. But you don't, your Facebook, you don't need to roll it out geographically.
Yeah.
You can pick a percentage of users. Although it's easy to say this is only available in the US App Store. So maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, I could see, I like, know. Even for, like, a few days just to, like, slowly, sure. but it's still, I don't know, a week later. And I'm not really clamoring to play with this app. From all that I've seen from reviews is the, like, their sort of interesting mechanic they've added to what Snapchat has is that you, if I send you a photo, you can't see my photo until you send something back to me.
Mm-hmm. And which is kind of genius.
It is and it isn't, because, like, it kind of, what I've seen from people is that they... It's kind of frustrating because you, it's genius in terms of generating content for your thing, right?
Well, and pulling, like, if from a business side, if you want adoption of this product and you're competing with something as pervasive as Snapchat, you kind of need everything to go right. You need as many, I don't know, you really need all your ducks in a row.
Yeah.
And you need that. Whatever that trigger is to get you to download it if I'm a user.
Yeah.
So if I send you a picture, you have to A, have the app, and B, use it in order to see what I sent you. But so it's not like you can just read people's messages or you know, browse your newsfeed or whatever.
It's interesting because one of the things that in this, the review on The Verge, which I linked to, is Snapshots, getting them both mixed up. Slingshot's killer feature is its select all button, a button Snapchat diehards have begged for that lets you send a photo to all of your friends at once. And for whatever reason, Snapchat has been adamant about leaving it out, you know, so that you can't either accidentally or intentionally spam a whole bunch of people, I would presume. But
imagine.
Yeah. It's funny how that's like the big killer feature is just a send all button.
Yeah.
Which, again, goes back to what you're saying. Like, if you want people to adopt it, you want them to send it to as much as possible.
Yeah.
When you're sort of it's hard to imagine Facebook being the underdog, but in this sort of user war, I guess, they are certainly against Snapchat. All right. Anything else did you add? That's all I had in my list.
Just
quick.
Yeah, I think that's everything. I didn't add anything. I just added the link to Brent Beard. Burns.
You had the Brent Burns edition. That's enough.
Brent Beard.
All right. Where can folks, what are you working on these days? Where can folks find you, follow you?
I'm working on one story lately, onestory.com. It's a video interview software. It's pretty awesome. You should definitely check it out.
Do I have to send my story before I can see someone else's story?
No. we're not jerks like Facebook.
Sorry, yeah, so onestory.com and
on Twitter at bcorty, BKORTE.
Nice. And I'm iChris on Twitter, and goodstuff.fm/dailyish/25 is where you can find this show. I'd love to hear your feedback, thoughts, ideas, topics, links, chris@goodstuff.fm or iChris on Twitter, like I said, and then goodstuff_FM is where you can follow Good Stuff on Twitter. And check out goodstuff.fm for lots of other shows we do. The Intellectual Radio program is a discussion show. There's a new Minecraft show that I'm testing out with a friend that we might be doing.
Seriously? That's awesome.
And we're seeing how long you can actually talk about a game without needing to show it. And we might do screencasts as well or whatever. But what else? My buddy Adam Clark has his show, The Gently Mad, which he interviews design, web, tech nerds about stuff, and lots of other stuff coming. So, yeah, check out goodstuff.fm. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.